The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
Down. We have another show for you. They paid me top dollar, high dollars to come back in the studio and take over. Crystal and her friends, Connie and Ruth. Hello. Welcome back.
Hello.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I don't think I like this.
You're not used to it by now.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love this. No, actually, you know, I've actually really enjoyed myself on this the last show. And I know this show is going to be epic because you guys are giving a lot of perspective from the women's point of view. And I haven't had that on a lot. And just because, you know, Ruth, you speak at pastors' conferences. You speak at women's conferences. You speak all over the place, and you've been doing it for a long time. So you have a lot of credibility and depth to yourself, as well as Connie. Mm-hmm.
You the biz doing lady that, over here, Connie.
You're doing the same. We got business aspect plus ministry. Mm-hmm. And then Crystal, you know, your business and you're walking with God. You're a mom. You know, this
I have
is all,
a lot of kids.
You start cranking out kids. No, this is awesome because it's three different perspectives coming together. Yes. So any woman that is going to listen to this is going to get so much out of these shows. So I'm excited, man. And I hope one day that you guys have your own show.
Me too.
So me too.
I think we need your own show. You need to come up with a name and make it happen.
We should have people. Oh
yeah, you guys should. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Send in your name.
Oh yes. My gosh, that's amazing, guys. Yes. Send us your name.
Yes. I'd love to hear it. Okay, so we're gonna dive in here to this next topic, which is all about love. Yes. What is love?
Sing it, Connie. Sing it.
Can you sing it?
I'm married a singer. I am not a singer.
Okay, you should have brought Phil.
Can you sing it?
Oh, no. Let's not put on the spot. Jeez.
There it is.
Don't hurt me. No more.
All right. All right.
Connie, I love it.
It happened.
Intro.
They're awesome. Okay, so here's the thing. Love. Let's start. Let's break this down because love is a big topic and we are going to hone it in on a couple topics, like subtopics within the big topic.
And I think it's good talking about this because love, I feel like most people have, whether they're a Christian or non-Christian or they know it or they don't know it, they have conjured up or defined love in their own mind mostly by TV, Hollywood, social media, magazines, other people's views. And, you know, it's probably one big messed up
big
little match lump.
Pod, yeah. Big chunk of mess. So we got to figure out. We got to redefine love.
Well, let me start with this. I looked this up, you guys, and I wanted to just read this. This is from, I think this is the Oxford Dictionary. And here's the definition of love. And then I want to hear what you guys think. Okay. Love is an intense feeling of deep affection, okay? Love is a great interest and pleasure in something, and love is to feel a deep romantic or sexual attachment to someone. So what do we think about those definitions?
Doesn't the Bible talk about different styles of love?
Yeah, there's like four Greek words for love. They're not all in the New Testament, but there's that love, I would say, is what they would call the Eros love.
Yeah.
And Eros, that kind of love doesn't exist in the New Testament. It's not defined. When they talk about love and marriage and everything, it's talking about agape love, which we'll get to. But Eros love is in the Bible. Like, you just read Song of Solomon and it's right there. It's like throughout the Old Testament. We see it and it's real and it's natural and it's from God. And that's, you know, when you're first attracted to your spouse, or that's, you know, and you love them in that way. But the Bible talks about going way deeper than that. But I feel like that kind of love is really the only kind of love that you'd see Hollywood portray, right? Or in the movies, or what most young girls grow up and, you know, fantasize about, that kind
it's
of
like
love.
It's like a surface love is what you see in the movies, because it's not real. You know, it's just they're acting. It's they go home to their husbands or their wives or their boyfriends or girlfriends. So it's not real love, but it looks really good.
And it's interesting too, Ruth, right now when you just said that, I mean, think about this. Even you guys that are listening, or you girls, when you're a little girl and you're watching the princess movies and you're growing up and you're thinking about love and getting married, you're not really attaching sacrifice, choice, hard work. You're thinking of,
yeah,
my prince is going to come and save me, and we're all is going to be well in the world, right? Uh-huh. I mean, that really is still kind of the Hollywood way.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's why people get that phrase, oh, well, you know, why did you get divorced? Or whatever. Well, I fell out of love with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I fell in, and then I just fell out.
So would we?
So it was just all sexual.
Right.
Right.
I mean,
just emotion.
It
like,
was
oh,
that,
he's so
that
charming.
Level, that one, yep. That one level
that's
all. That you just defined. Yeah.
If we think about what love is in the world, in my opinion, I think that it's two things. I think it is, what can you do for me? How can you make me feel good? Right. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, how do I feel? On a day-to-day basis, how do I? If you're not making me feel happy and you're not serving me, then I'm not in love with you anymore. I mean, that's what I really see. The world really follows right now is that kind of love.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that as like an individual, you have to figure out how to become whole and love yourself, which we know where the answer is. It's in the Bible and loving Jesus and being filled with him. That is the best love you could have. But people are looking to other people in their relationships, the kids, everything else to fill that love feeling for them.
Right. So, and it's a feeling that's not going to be the same for an entire marriage.
Exactly.
Or, I mean, what I forget, I read somebody gave a statistic once, like of a marriage counselor or whatever, like the honeymoon period or those initial firework feelings last like 9 months or something. Mm-hmm. And then they can go up to like 7 years. And apparently 7 years is like a big number where people get divorced. And,
oh, wow.
And there's these kind of like time frames they've said. But the world doesn't know any other kind of love. That's the only kind of love that they know, because the only other kind of love is the kind of love from the Bible that comes from God. So if you don't know God, you don't have that kind of love. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit. But just like you said about loving yourself and defining the difference between what the world might mean by that and what, you know, a Christian may mean by that. I read a quote of Miley Cyrus recently. She said this. She said, "Why are we trained that love means putting yourself second and those you love first?" She was saying the given is that now we've all come in this culture that we're in to this realization that you need to love yourself. And when you've learned to love yourself, then you can love others. Mm-hmm. And so she's saying, why did we always think that you should put love means putting others first? Like, why that we've got that so wrong? Because if you love yourself, right, which is the given, then we should come first. Mm-hmm. And so that's like how she's now, you know, living her life. And so we know, like, if you read the Bible, like, that is not remotely anything that's true found in the Bible. You know, there's many scriptures that talk about love and how we should treat other people and everything. And loving yourself, it's loving yourself, as they were describing, is actually just something that comes naturally to us, right? Self-preservation. Right. We all love ourselves. We all, you know, we would want to, like a kid, you don't have to tell them to be selfish.
Right.
They're automatically selfish.
Right, exactly.
It's our human nature. Mm-hmm. We have to learn to not be selfish, right? And most people in society would have said that was a given, like, you know, learning, you know, not to be selfish and being loving, that those go hand in hand, but not anymore. I feel like now we've defined it like really to be loving is to love yourself. I heard, do you guys know like Rachel Hollis, that she's that business girl? Mm-hmm. I was looking at her Instagram because I was like, she says she's a Christian. And I was like, and I was knowing tons of people like reading her books and stuff. And I went on her Instagram and she did this video and she just kept saying like how you love, and I can love those difficult people because I am love. And she said, and I am love. Mm-hmm. And she kept saying that over and over. And I'm like, well, where'd you get
somebody
that from?
Somebody else came before her and said they are love. Yeah. Let me tell you about him.
Yeah. Like, where did you get that from? Yeah. Like, you're not love. And where did you get that you need to learn to love yourself, you know, more? And you know, we can kind of talk about that. I don't know.
And so many people like her and many are giving these mixed messages of like of what love is to them individually, right? And it's just become so incorrect on so many levels. So we want to bring it back, right? We want to come back here and we want to tell everybody, okay, this is what love is.
Here's a couple scriptures on that. It says Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Mm-hmm. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself." So as we're all called to walk in love, like that's what it should look like, right? 2 Timothy 3:1-4 says, "But know this, in the last days, which we're living in, perilous times will come, and men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God." And that's it right there. Yep. Like, that's the culture we're living in. The church is embracing it. I've even heard entire messages on, if you want to hope to love other people the way God wants you to, you have to love yourself first. And, you know, it comes from that scripture in Matthew where, you know, it says, "I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other cheek to him. If anyone wants to sue you, take your tunic, give him your cloak." Like, there's this whole attitude of giving others, like to others. But what Jesus said, he's like, what are the two commandments? Greatest two commandments. Yep. Love the Lord your God. Love others. Not love me. Love the Lord your God and love others. Those are the two main things that we as Christians need to know. And that's what the whole law and commandments it says is hinged on.
Right. And I think that if, again, just kind of always going back to the baseline, right? If you want to know love and you want to know what the true love is, the Bible says God is love. Again, it doesn't say God is a version of love. God is a what? God is love. So if you want to know love, get to know God. Get to know who he is. What does he stand for? What is his character like, right? And then, just like you said, what does he tell us to do with that? We now know God is love. What how do we show love? We love God with all our heart and we love others. Those are the first two things.
And so I think, like,
really quick, I'm going to cut in here. You know, when you read about Satan, he was always pointing to I. It's the opposite, right? Like, me, you know, love yourself. Like, how can we love ourselves when we know how corrupt we are? And it's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that God transforms us in our character. So definitely it's not.
Well, if you think about it, way back in the Garden of Eden, it was that selfish act. That brought sin into the world. So love was lost by elevating self. So to elevate self is not going to make you more loving. Like it's the lie from the enemy. And so what do we do with lies? Like we talked about in our last show is, you know, we measure it up with the Bible and we look at what the Bible has to say. So I think you can't talk about love or we can't go on without reading what the Bible says love is. And there's that famous love chapter. Didn't anyone have it at the wedding? We had it read at the wedding. Doesn't everybody have it at the wedding?
I don't remember our wedding.
It was only 6 years ago.
I was in shock, I think, the whole time.
Well, Garrett was Garrett was panicked. First time I ever saw him. Like,
really?
He has married a ton of people, and he couldn't even say the vows. He was, like, stumbling over his words. I'd die laughing.
Wait, what did your dad say? You have to tell. My gosh.
So her whole family... you know, I've never even really met her family actually when we got married. I knew her mom and dad. So her whole family, all of her friends are there.
You ask for permission.
And my dad, my mom tells my dad before, and you all know my dad.
Yeah.
And my mom, and they said, "Hey, say my mom's like, say something. You have to say something about Ryan.
Break the ice, you know.
Like, it's his wedding." And he goes, "My son used to serve the devil for 20-something years." And be
like uber, like Catholic grandparents. And my 80-year-old grandma's like, "What did he say?"
My
dad's like, nothing. It's fine.
And again, I was blacked out because I was in shock. So I don't even remember that part. Man. But yeah, that's what I heard.
Great intro.
Way to kick it off at the wedding,
With wedding ceremony.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah. They're focused on one thing. Which let's talk about marriage love in a second. After you get this
definition,
I want to go there.
Okay. So everybody has 1 Corinthians 13 at their wedding, right?
Yeah.
But then they probably forget about it after. Yes. But anyway, so this is what we're talking about when we talk about love.
Yes.
And the Bible's definition of
the
love.
The basic foundation of love is right here.
Because there's a love that comes from God. And it's a love that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of that Spirit, you know, there's all the fruits of the Spirit, but they all encompass love. Love is what comes from your life. When you're born again and you ask Jesus into your heart and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have the love of God and you can't have it without God. And so that is the kind of love that we want to talk about and that we want to show why that is different from what the world is saying. And so this is what 1 Corinthians 13, I'm just going to read verse 4-8. It says, "Love suffers long, patient, and is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek after its own," like we just talked about. Love, by definition, is selfless. So if you're acting selfishly, that's not acting lovingly, in which the world tries to tell you it is. It's selfless. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. And this is something I think we can talk about later, too. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, because love never fails. And then at the end of the chapter, it says these three things abide, but the greatest of these is love. Why? Because this is faith, hope, and love. We won't need those in, you know, when we go see Jesus in heaven, but love will always be. Love, God is love, and love will always exist and it will abide forever. And that is the kind of love as Christians we want to be walking in. Yeah.
And if you think about that, you know, just you reading that, and we've known this for years, you guys, I'm just already thinking to myself, well, which one of those am I lacking in right now?
Totally.
Probably all of them.
I just want our listeners to know, too, just as Christians, we know these things, you guys. We have the Lord in our lives. We trust him. We know him. We believe. And this is still a daily thing we have to walk out. It's a daily thing to choose to love, right? So we talked about this too in our conversations, that love is a choice. It's not that, you know, well, I feel like it today or I don't feel like it. Good Lord, we'd all be in trouble, especially as women. We got hormones that are all messed up at all any given time. And so we can't rely on that. We have to choose. And so choosing those actions when your husband maybe wasn't the nicest to you, when your friend said something not nice behind your back, when whatever, you can name a million things, is really what love is. That's the true love right there. Right. And how many people are really doing that?
Yep. And in those moments, like you were saying, you know, sleep deprived, kids going crazy, husband, this and that, you can either react, right? Which we should never do. We're not perfect though. Or should we go back and read that verse again, because that verse will take you back and it'll make you reflect and think about how you should react instead of irrationally.
So I feel like, you know, like we're told in scriptures to walk in the spirit, right? And that's how we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so that's how we can be loving when somebody's a jerk or whatever. You know, that's how love comes out, because we're walking in the spirit. But walking in the spirit is like a moment by moment thing, right? So, you know, I'm not necessarily walking in the spirit at all times. If I'm not got my heart and mind focused on the Lord and I'm not reading, I can be just totally walking in the flesh. Nothing good comes from the flesh, right? I can't love in God's love when I'm walking in the flesh.
So wait, I want to pull it back for one second, because there is something that had recently, a situation that happened to us, because it's really hard sometimes to love all the time when maybe something or somebody did something really, really bad to you. And a lot of
don't
people,
tell them, Crystal. Don't tell
what
them.
What did you do, Ryan? What did you do?
This is my show, Crystal. No, I'm
waiting for the story.
But, you know, it's just, you know, Ryan and I hear a lot. We get a lot of people, and, you know, we hear this time and time again, is that a lot of people really do hurtful things to other people. And the question always is, well, how can I love that person? And, Ryan, we were just sitting with a couple the other day, and he gave the best advice. And do you want to share that?
No, I want your take on the show.
Okay, I will
today.
Share it. He was he was basically saying, like, it's okay, you know, to give it time, to step back sometimes. It doesn't mean that you have to call them and, like, try to engage with that person that has hurt you so badly. You need to step back. You need to pray. You need to, you know, and it's the story of Jesus in the that one story in the Bible that we were talking about that related to it, is like, it's, you have to just know your boundaries and forgive in your time too. It doesn't mean you have to react, but you can forgive. And when you're ready, you can come back and figure out what kind of part that person is in your life. Or maybe they're not a part of your life, but you've forgiven. And that's the most important thing, is that you get to a place in yourself. It's for your own good and your health. And it's biblical that you need to find that time, you know,
the key is forgiveness.
Yes, 100%.
Because if you don't forgive, it's just a cancer, and it will just eat you up.
Exactly.
Like, I think medically, medically, it
Dr.
will
Ryan,
yes, no, yeah,
it,
yes,
it will literally medically eat you alive from the inside out. And it's good to have boundaries and forgive people. Yeah. And, you know, you don't have to let them back into that inner circle. You know, have you ever, I can't even name the movie, but the Circle of Trust. I can't name the movie on the air here, but the Circle of Trust.
Yes.
you know, sometimes that gets broken and your heart gets broken. And right. That, mm-hmm. But you have to forgive. Yeah. And maybe they're just not in the circle of trust anymore.
Right.
But they're still acquaintances. Like mm-hmm. you could still be surface with mm-hmm. them and have a relationship. Right. And then sometimes maybe they just broke all the trust and there's just too much hurt there. Mm-hmm. But you have to forgive.
Right.
You have to forgive. Right. And then they just don't. I mean, I've had someone rob me and just do some crazy stuff to me. And he's like, you're a Christian. You know, you got to forgive and you got to be friends. I'm like, no, I got to forgive you, but we don't have to hang out. You literally came in and like stole it from my house. Yeah. Like, I don't want you around me. I don't trust you. Yeah. I forgive you. No more problems, but you're over there. It's boundaries.
And that's what I think we have to understand too, is just like Ruth read, love holds no record of wrong. Why? Because that's what God's done for us. He says, so the deepest ocean, the farthest east is to the west. He removes all. And that's how we're able to forgive, not because of our own strength, because of what he's done for us.
Yeah.
But forgiving someone doesn't mean that, you know, again, like you said, you give them full access and control to your life. The Bible also says to have some wisdom and discernment. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we want to have that too. And there's such a thing as called loving from afar. And it's a beautiful thing. And I'm serious.
Yes.
There's wisdom in that. So when people have to understand that forgiveness does not mean that you are an open door for everybody to come in and step all over you and to just, no. There's discernment there. But you freed yourself of drinking the poison, like you said, for years and years. And letting someone control your life that just doesn't need to, you know?
Because the key is your own heart. Like, is there that root? Because root of bitterness can come out in all kinds of ugly ways.
Yeah, totally.
So you got to root that. Yeah, take that up by the root, says, you know, in the Bible.
And if if you have that root of bitterness, like you were talking about, or anger or resentment or any of that stuff, and every time, and you guys have all had someone when their name comes up, you're like,
not them.
Right back to where I was 20 years ago.
Right.
And that's why you don't allow certain people in your life to have that place, because why do you, if that's happening to you, it's going to affect my wife, Crystal. It's going to affect my kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, so it's about boundaries and God doing the work. And through the work of the Holy Spirit, he's in the job of, you know, bringing people together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it happens in a year or 2 years, 4 years. He reconciles.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it's all in God's timing.
Yes. And something good to that point, too, is sometimes God will do you a big favor and pick those people out of your life before something horrible even happens.
Yes.
Like Chuck Smith says, blessed are the subtractions.
Blessed subtractions.
We've had many blessed subtractions.
Yes. And you know what's great is like when I was younger, I was just like, oh, no. Like, why
I know. You don't always know that blessed subtractions at first. They can hurt deeply.
Mm-hmm.
They can hurt deeply. Yeah. And people closest to you can wound you the deepest, but you just have to let go and just say, you know, I trust God is removing them for a reason.
100%. And he brings some great, you know, handpicks some ones to come back in sometimes. And it's so
I want to refer back to the first show. So we had this verse that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Oh yeah, we were talking about truth in the last show. If you guys haven't watched it, you should check it out.
Go back to that last show to piggyback off of that. It's about God's will and his purpose in our life and trusting him in those blessed subtractives, subtractions and all that.
But I know we're going to talk about like love and what that looks like in relationships, but I think it's true. And for like, we need to hone in on like God's love for us and what and how that is unconditional. So we're so like, you know, we give love to those that are nice to us. And if they're not, or they're enemies, and we're not going to give love to them. And then we automatically assume that's how God is, too.
Right.
So, you know, I act a certain way. Oh, God doesn't love me anymore. Or, you know, and I think that we need to make it clear God's love is unconditional. Mm-hmm. It says that while we're sinners, he loved us. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't because, oh, now we're saved. Okay, now I'm going to love you. You know, he knows everything we're going to do beginning to end anyway.
Yep.
And so that as women, as teenagers, I feel particularly, they've placed their entire worth on what a guy thinks about them, for instance.
Yes.
Like some guy says a mean comment and all of a sudden, like their whole view of themselves has been warped. And I think it's that kind of a thing that came out of the you need to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But what they really mean is you need to know how much God loves you.
Yeah.
And you need to know the worth that God has given you because of his love. It's because of his love that that gives us worth and that gives us our value and that gives our purpose and our hope. Mm-hmm. And that love doesn't change, you know, with how we act or what happens to us or what we do or what we look like or any of that. Right. It's completely unconditional.
And my heart really goes out to the teenagers, the high schooler girls, right? Because like in that, and we've all been there. It wasn't that long ago, okay? And it's like a huge thing. Mm-hmm. You want to feel like you're loved and that people pay attention to you and acknowledge you. And whatever guy you meet is, you know, how he, you know, decides to be toward you. I mean, it could like make or break someone in that age because they're so fragile. And
right.
They're in such a fragile state. And I'm just looking at these women, these young girls going, you know, like there's so much more, like you're so much more valuable than a guy that you're probably not going to be with. Like the odds of that ever, you know, working out is a very slim chance you marry your high school sweetheart. But anyways, I'm just saying, get your experience of love from God.
Yes.
Get your experience from love with, you know, with love from your parents, that, you know, Christian friends, church. Mm-hmm. There's so many other ways to learn what love is. And at that age, it is so important. And any parent should be throwing their kids to any type of women's conference. I am so shocked at how few young women I see at young women's conferences that are usually free. Okay, I'm like, where are these young women? Mm-hmm. Because you're a parent, you're a mom, they're under 18. Get them here. Go with them here. This will change their life. It'll change the direction of their life. And they'll be more confident because of it. And they'll actually value themselves more.
Okay, you guys are going to do a conference too.
Hold on.
I'm getting ideas.
We can barely get out of the house today.
Stop planning it.
2021 is booked. Yeah. We are going on tour.
Good job, because 2020 was canceled. Everything was canceled.
Hey, why don't you speak a little bit, Crystal, into, because I mean, in high school, you went through, it was, high school wasn't easy for you. Speak into the lives of those middle school and high school students. How you went? I mean, no, it wasn't like you were like the popular kid at school.
You're just trying to find where you belong,
right? Okay, and that's it. That's, I feel like that is women, right? Yeah. They want to belong. I mean, you got to look at social media. There's groups for this, and like, I like doing spin, and so they do this like little, you know, group, and it's like, oh, I feel like I belong somewhere, and their whole life is like they live for this spin group on Facebook because they find community and belonging, and so. But that feeling that we have is from God, because we were created to be a church family to belong. In the family of God. So everything that we see like in the world and for like teenagers that they're struggling with, it's needs that we have, but they're just filling it with the wrong things.
Yes, 100%. And that's like, it's like if you don't have an hour to go to a young women's conference or whatever it is, or to listen to an audio study with your daughter or your son or whatever, then, and you have time to let them play on games for 5 hours a day, like where are the priorities? And that's the thing, like when you're in high school, you want to feel like needed. You want to feel like you belong somewhere, because that really kind of, your hobbies and what your interests are kind of dictates how you start to grow up in your life. So it is so important. And that's just, I just feel like your real definition or your first experiences of love happen in high school. And that is just such an opportune time to, and, you know.
Well, yeah. And how cool would it be if we were teaching our young kids from the get that the difference between the world's love and God's love is, God's love says, just like Reckless Love, one of the best songs I think ever written in the past year, you can't earn it and you don't deserve it. And that's so hard for our brains to imagine, because our kind of love in the world is, it's conditional and I have to earn it, or what you do for me and what I do for you. And that God says, no, you cannot earn this love. It is unconditional. And that's humbling for people to be like, okay, I just have to accept this. I have to humble myself. I have to accept this kind of love. And that's very different and very difficult.
Totally.
And God, you know, he is the one that fashioned us in our mother's wombs. And so he created us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, it says how precious are his thoughts towards us, right? So he's thinking precious thoughts towards us. Some young people don't feel like they don't even have a loving parent.
Yes.
And so they are trying to go find, you know, that love somewhere else. And so they're just looking for somewhere to belong, and they're just looking to feel loved.
Yes.
And so, you know, you're only going to let yourself down over and over and over again if you go anywhere except to the Lord. Because, you know, he's the one that can say, look, I created you just the way they are. I have a purpose for you. Like, do you want to know what that is? Like, because then I can give, I will lead you and I'll guide you. And if you come to me and you don't have to take that mean thing somebody said and make it your identity.
Exactly.
You know,
that's
you look at what it says in the Bible, mm-hmm. who you are, mm-hmm. how precious you are. I created you just the way that you are. And so that's another reason why the last show with truth was so important, because so many young people just believe the lies, and the lies don't always sound bad. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they sound good. They sound like, oh, this is common sense. Oh, you know, this latest mm-hmm. Kardashian quote, I love it, or whatever. And so they take it upon themselves as truth, and then, you know, they just get let down because there's this big...
I'm going to have to hold.
Oh. Ooh.
We're going to take a break.
To be continued.
Right now, yeah, but I would like to end it with this. The scripture says God is love.
Yes.
And we're going to talk to you guys in 2 minutes.
Okay.
More of The Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. Now, back to The Ryan Reese Show.
See me as we are talking the show. I'm like the bearded woman. They look at me and they go, they go, oh, looks like mom, but she has a beard.
But they're confused and it just doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Oh, you
and then the voice.
You should
you know,
see the crying.
It's not the baby whisperer.
I've never seen a baby that likes me.
Really? No. Even your own four babies?
Well, they hate me.
No. He gives them candy, so they like them a lot.
Ice cream and In-N-Out burgers.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a great first segment about love, individually looking at what love is and kind of defining that. So now we're going to switch gears and we're going to look... we are going to talk about love in relationships, mm-hmm. and we were just talking about, Connie and I were talking, we have stories of how we loved in the world, and I wanted Connie to share her story.
Yeah. I do want to plug you guys, though, because people are listening to the live, it's actually the Ryan Reese Show now, but I have actually my wife in studio, Crystal Reese. And her friends, Connie Woo-hoo. And Sanchez.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Ruthie Beeler. Ruthie. No, I know. I was thinking about your Instagram. Well, if you want to find her on Instagram, Ruthie Beeler.
Ruthie B. I know.
So really quick, Ruth Beeler is the wife of Garrett Beeler of City Vision Church in Irvine.
Yeah, in Irvine.
And then we have Connie Sanchez, which is the wife of Phil Sanchez, mm-hmm. he's a worship leader and a pastor mm-hmm. down at Saddleback, right?
San Diego, yeah.
San Diego, Saddleback. Mm-hmm. And my wife, Crystal Reese.
Yes, hello, Ryan Reese.
Who am I?
That's for another show.
You are amazing.
She's a wonder woman, literally.
So, go for it, host it.
Okay, so no, we're going to kick off with Connie's story about your relationship.
Yeah, what love looked like in the world.
Yeah, yes. You know, I don't know. Is this bad to say that I'm fortunate to have experienced both? You know, I really am. I think of everything in my past. I think of my pain has always been used for a purpose. That's how I see everything. I'm an open book. I love that the Lord's allowed me to take things that I have mm-hmm. experienced in my past that were bad decisions and use them
and
for
God
good. And I can relate
good.
To a lot of people because of it. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I did grow up in a Christian home. I loved the Lord as a kid. You guys, I knew the Bible. I knew what the Bible said about love and marriage. And, but guess what? I loved the world more. Honestly, mm-hmm. I loved the world more. I loved the draws mm-hmm. of what love looked like in the world. I loved wanting to be the center of every guy's attention in high school. And I loved what the devil said love would bring me. Mm-hmm. I really did. And so that drowned out everything I knew that was real. And I followed that. And well into my 20s. And I dated many different guys. And we talked about this before in one of the other episodes that said they were Christian. And if they said they were Christian, then we're good to go. I didn't look at any fruit.
Check.
There was no fruit I needed to look at because I wasn't walking. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I wasn't walking with the Lord. You say you're Christian, I believe. Good. We're good to go. So that's pretty much how I lived all through my early 20s. And I really was in a place where I had always seen, aside from my dad and other really genuine Christian men, I had seen men, young men, that showed love based off everything that we said in the last episode. How they felt. What could I give them? What could I do mm-hmm. for them? How could I, you know, it was always that. There was no unconditional. There was no serving. There was no, it was, am I hot enough and am I giving enough? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that was that.
Yeah,
totally.
Until I met Phil. I will never forget it, and I say it to this day. He was the first man that came into my life and actually exhibited what the Bible says love is. And all those characteristics and all of those traits that Ruth read mm-hmm. was mm-hmm. was Phil. And of course, he's not perfect. He's not anything. But you guys, that's how we discern. Okay, is this guy right? Is this of the Lord? It was the fruits. He was patient. He was kind. Yeah. He was, you know, self-control. Big one, you guys, yeah. ladies, dating yes. men. Yeah. Is he self-controlled with yes. drugs, drinking, porn, all the things? Mm-hmm. That was Phil.
Wow.
And so I got to see true love in human form with Phil. And that's really what was my first yep. example.
I want to add something. You know, there's women that are dating guys and they don't have self-control and they're acting out on pornography and maybe not drugs, maybe just say maybe not alcohol, maybe it's just porn. But how can that guy be loving you if they're cheating on you, watching other girls act and even acting out sexually mm-hmm. while they're watching
mm-hmm.
the screen?
Mm-hmm.
That's like, is there real love right. there?
Well, I would say no. I would say they might think so, and they might think, and this is where it gets real messed up, that is normal. I know yep. tons True. Of friends.
Yep.
This is normal in their marriage. This is normal in their – this is the norm that we're living in, you guys, and it's not wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem is we know, though, if you know the real love and you know what God says about it, you don't need those things. They may still be pulling at you, and they may mm-hmm. still be a struggle, mm-hmm. but you know to put those aside because God has something better and greater. And that's the problem is we normalize it. So no one thinks
and
it's
it
a
has.
Problem.
It,
you know?
it was normalized, you know, years ago when it was joked about on TV and it's funny. And so it was like True. The thing you do. And so anytime you kind of break the stigma on something and it becomes, you know, cultural, then you don't feel like it's very sinful anymore.
Right.
Or and it's even healthy. It's right. healthy, you right. know. And then yeah, you justify it in all kinds of ways just so that you can actually just do what you want to do.
Yep.
And so we're really good at that, I yes. feel like. We're really good at thinking of any reason that we can think mm-hmm. of as to why something is right. And so that's why we're in such a mess from not following mm-hmm. the Bible is because we've created our own rights and wrongs. And yep. so, you know, so many marriages think it's healthy, you know, to watch porn and be married. It mm-hmm. helps our marriage. Like I've heard many people say mm-hmm. that it mm-hmm. helps our marriage, you know, but what does the Bible say? You know, that's not, you yeah. don't look upon another woman lustfully. Right. So mm-hmm. obviously right. it is wrong. So
he addressed pornography in that verse long time ago.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
They're like, was there any verses about porn? I'm right. like, don't yes. look upon yeah. a woman yeah. lust. Yeah. Done.
Right. Just your wife.
Gosh, he's so
just
smart.
Your wife.
I know.
God is so smart.
Right.
Right.
Well, here's a quote from David Jeremiah. He says, loving the world destroys our relationship with God. It denies our faith in God and it discounts our future with God. So that, mm-hmm. you know, that gives
yeah.
you the
love in the world. I mean, there's that Paul's had his, oh, what was the name of the guy? I can't think of it. And he said he departed from me because he loved the world
mm-hmm.
more than God.
Yeah.
I can't remember that. But mm-hmm. then I think he came back around mm-hmm. because, you know, you can go, it's like the prodigal son. You can go and taste the world. And yep. it's like mm-hmm. Ryan's testimony right there. And mm-hmm. and the Lord, with however many people prayed for him.
Mm-hmm. Millions.
Yeah. Yeah. Really?
And your life, would you say, is more fulfilling now when you're indulging every sinful desire that you had?
It's all emptiness because all it is the body appetites. And,
right, and
it's,
they,
just, it's like, you know.
You just get the next one.
You
the
get
next
sick.
One.
And, but then just you get sick of it and nothing.
Yeah.
It's like buying a new car. So you buy it and then you have it for a while and you're like, oh, you see the new model come out.
Yeah.
The new
rim.
Yeah. You got to get the new one. And it's just, it goes
it gets
nowhere.
Old. I mean,
old.
You know, because I had a career and a relationship in the world and the whole thing. And it's, you know, you could do it over and over again and that's great, you know, but is it fulfilling? No, it's not fulfilling. Okay. It may be exciting mm-hmm. for the first year or two, whatever, but then you're like, okay, wait, I feel like you search for more.
Right.
You want to find the answers and, right. and you feel like you're missing something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people, feel that way too. Cause I've heard a couple people say that and, you know, when they're more like, you know, the high up CEOs and stuff, but it's interesting. And Ryan has said this before about his life is that you give it all up. Right. And you follow Jesus and then it full circles and he gives you everything back mm-hmm. in a way that is right. Is like honoring him. And it is so amazing. Cause Ryan used to talk about that when I was a new Christian, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I had to leave my job for you and I had to do all these things and I have all these kids and I used to be some crazy career woman. Yeah, like travel around the world, make a ton of money, and now I'm like sitting here with all these little kids, like why? And I used to be like, he's never gonna give me back, you know, that life. And he did. Mm-hmm. He did. It took time and a lot of waiting mm-hmm. and learning and trusting. But mm-hmm. full circle, you know, it's like you know, he's given me my life back and more.
Yeah.
So
what does love look like for you guys, like in your relationships now, maybe your marriage, or we told them what the world's love kind of looks like. What does it look like for us as believers? Are we perfect? Do we exhibit all the fruits? What does this look like when you actually are married, both believing what God says about love? How does that
Right. And it's going to look different, just like your relationship before and with Steve. It looks different. And it's not always because you try to make it look different, but just naturally as Christians who are walking in the Lord, you're going to live lives that look different. And so it's going to come out in your marriage. And so the important thing I think to know is, like, in the Bible, it tells us how God's love isn't just something that we feel and know and like, oh, it's this feel-good factor for us, because it is the only thing that's really going to fill that void. But the Bible talks about love being our empowerment for walking, you know, the way that God wants us to, because why? Love does not seek its own. Yes. So how in the world am I going to, you know, not be selfish in my marriage or with my kids or as a parent or as in a friendship? The only way I can do that is by God's love coming out through me. Mm-hmm. And so his love literally is the power for us to have a marriage that is thriving or that is godly. It's not always going to be that, because why? We don't always walk in the flesh, in the spirit. We often can just walk in the flesh, and we just get in ruts, and we fill our minds instead of reading our Bible. We binge watch something on Netflix, and so before we know it, like, we're not walking in the spirit. And so we have to know that God's love is the power in our marriages. And if we're not walking in that love, we're not going to see the fruits of that in our marriage. And so, because we're going to, you know, we're going to want to seek our own. And I think most people, you know, in like a worldly relationship, they want to be, you know, they want the other person to complete them or to be for them what they want them to be, which they can never be, because the only person that really completes us is the Lord. And so if you're trying to put him in a place that he can't be, he's not going to satisfy you. And you just, there's going to be that time where, you know, you reach the end of the road, and that's when you're like, well, I just fell out of love. Well, you know, if those feelings or those Eros feelings that we're talking about is love, that's when, you know, you want God's agape love doesn't change. So if God doesn't change and his love doesn't change, what changed? Maybe me. I'm not walking in the spirit. And so I know my husband often says, you know, with relationships and stuff, he's like, if there's anything wrong with any interpersonal relationships in your life, it's because there's something wrong with the main relationship between you and God. And so the best thing we can do for our marriages, and this is where, you know, like, probably the Christian spin on self-care would be, the best thing we can do to take care of ourselves is to take care of the spiritual man inside. And so, and when we do that and we put that first and we say, you know, the laundry can just wait a minute. I've got to do this because, you know, let's face it. I mean, my laundry now with four kids, I just, I can't even. Like, I just, and my kids are the worst. They're like, oh, Hudson tries, I don't like it. It's my laundry pile. I'm like, you wore it for 10 seconds.
Not again.
No. But my point being, there's always going to be something that's going to want to take your time if you don't prioritize your time to, you know, to spend it with the Lord so that you can receive that empowerment to be loving in your marriage and to not be selfish and to, you know, like, the men are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And so people always talk about, oh, like, the man's over the woman just to dominate or whatever. Well,
that's,
you know,
a whole topic.
That's a whole separate topic. Oh, we should definitely do that. But if you're supposed to love as Christ loved the church, how did Christ love the church? Like,
lay down his life.
Church, and it was self-sacrificial, and it was living. And that is if you're both living your lives to sacrifice, lay them down for the other person, you'll find many, many, many issues in marriage can just go to the back, you know, the back burner.
Because and it's hard. Our pride,
Marriage is hard. Marriage is not easy.
It's
and
not
put in
easy.
Some little people, and it gets a little bit tougher.
I was just going to say that. So you put in, you know, you have your marriage, and then you put in your career, job, your goals. Because trying to just reach goals, there's a lot of pressure to reach goals to provide. Right. And then you got kids, you got newborn babies, and you put it all together, and laundry,
Yep, no, you add it all, and then storm.
And it's the perfect storm, and that's why it's like it's so easy. You can get away from not reading your Bible for a few days, and when you don't feed your spirit, the body appetites, the flesh man comes up, the anger comes, all these things. And that's why it's so crucial that you have to find that time one way or another. But I can think of a million different things I can do than do my devotion and reading.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the less you do it, the less you want to do it. Right. So it's like the more you do it, the more you like you thirst for it. And so sometimes it takes that discipline. Right. You just got to have that discipline. Say, I don't want to, but I'm going to. And then you'll see as you keep going, you'll want to. And then you'll just see, you know.
Exactly.
A transformation.
So I say that to tell you this. You guys are normal.
Yeah, right.
If you're going through this, you're normal. We're not super saints. When we don't read, anger problem comes up. You can get flared up and you get mad and you can be fighting with your wife and yelling at the kids. This happens. But then all of a sudden when you put yourself in check and you go back and you make sure you're reading and praying and listening to worship and whatever you got to do, you see a shift in your life. It's like what Jesus says in John 3. He says, you know, you will see the you'll see the effects of the Holy Spirit. It's like you don't see the wind blow, but you see the effects of it. And the only way to get plugged into the Holy Spirit is to read the living word of God, and he fills you up, and that's how you live the spirit of that life. You're normal.
What's so amazing is about God's love is in the Old Testament, they don't have that word agape, but they have the word hesed. I forget that. That's like in the Hebrew. And you'll see it translated like in a ton of different ways in the Old Testament. And it can be like loving kindness and, you know, and mercy and all these different words and grace. And grace, it's like, and that, so it's encompasses like as wives and, you know, as spouses and even as friends and parents, like showing grace to our kids or grace to our spouse, that's loving. Right. That's being loving, like being grace givers. And how much do we need the grace of God in our lives and how much we need to give that grace? I feel like we want grace or need grace more than we're willing to give it.
Totally. Yeah. Okay, so here, let's break it down a little bit. So when in our marriages, what can we do? What do we do, Ryan, to kind of make sure that we are keeping God as the center, right? And showing love. Okay. Like, I mean, and I'll just say one side note here is that even just being around other Christians like this is so filling.
Right.
Because how rare is it now to like actually sit down and just have a cup of coffee and just talk between like-minded people. Yeah. Right. So this is just such
fellowship is
amazing.
So key. And that's why COVID has been so hard.
It has
because
been. I was just going to say
people have
that,
been isolated and without fellowship. And there's people just falling off, like, you know.
They are falling off. Yeah. And this, and also what you're talking about, everyone being together.
Says,
you know, where there's more than two or three are gathered, so Jesus is. And this is iron sharpens iron.
I was just going to say that.
Everyone that's watching the show right now that's listening, this is just blades getting sharp and everyone's just getting sharp from these conversations.
And that's a really good point because I feel like in marriage, people think, you know, God would want me to be happy. I've heard this, like I'm getting a divorce because I'm not happy and God wants me to be happy. Yep. And I was like, okay, well, where does it say that? Like, you know, where does it say God's ultimate goal for you is that you would be happy all the time? It doesn't say that anywhere. No. In fact, it says, like, as a Christian, you're going to have trials. He's going to use those to grow you. He's he's going to use those to build your character. Your spouse is going to bug you a lot of the time, and he's going to use that as iron sharpening iron to grow your character.
We call it heavenly sandpaper. Yes. There are going to be a lot of heavenly sandpapers in your life that are going to rub you the wrong way.
Yes.
But God's more concerned with your character than your happiness.
Exactly.
And because he knows when your character is stronger, then you impact and affect the world greater than when you're just happy, you know?
Exactly.
Totally. I'm so glad you brought that up because that is so true, is that love is not, but when you're married, everyone thinks it's going to be happy and butterflies and rainbows. It's not the way it goes. And that's okay. You can't be, you're not going to feel the, you know, great all the time, you know, 100% of the time. You have to go through these things together with God in, you know, with other like-minded people as you're going through different things.
I literally heard like a YouTube video put to music, you know, like the whole emotional bit. And it was this woman, I think it was like a church type thing, but it must have been, you know, a more liberal kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And it was saying how, you know, she basically was given the reason for her divorce was because, you know, and he was a nice guy, don't get me wrong. And, you know, but I just came to this realization one day, you know, that I'm not happy. And so I had to make a change. Mm-hmm. And it was like this whole like emotional story and the comments and everything. It's like, you got to do what's right for you and live your truth, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just the lie, right? It's like what you just suddenly woke up one day and realized I'm not happy, so I'm just going to get a divorce.
Yeah. Like, well, this is the power of what I think you were saying, Ryan, of it is so important that you are surrounded by other people that believe the same things as you and have those values. Because you guys, as Christians, as we all know, if I didn't have this group of friends we had where I could call and be like, feel is bugging me to the high heavens. I'm losing my mind. Like, you have to be real. Yes, you got to be. Yeah. We're just as human. We got to be just as real. But they, when we have that tight knit circle that goes, Connie, get your butt in shape. You better start praying up, girl, and you better go see your husband. I go, okay, you're right. You know, like, so it's, we have to have that. And I'm telling you, that is what we were made to do. And without that, all of us would crumble, Christian or not Christian. I'm telling you, we have to have that community. And have that, you know, like-mindedness with people.
Because we would just want to have somebody that wants to say what we're doing is okay.
Totally.
And then we're like, oh, you've given me my validation.
Do you know
now
how
I
many marriages I believe would be saved if we if they didn't, if you know what
didn't
I mean?
Listen
if you
to bad friends' advice.
Well, truly.
Exactly. Yes.
Is the grass really greener on the other side? Because no, I don't, I've heard a lot of stories. And 99% of the time, it's usually not that.
And there's been situations where, like, you know, Crystal and I get in an argument or whatever, and I go upstairs and I study or whatever, and then I come, I mean, that, like, I get an illustration, I'll just kind of come down.
He's all, baby.
I'm like, I'm sorry. And you'll be like, will you read your Bible?
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. Like, literally, I'll be, you know, mad or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
Nothing will check your attitude quicker.
And then I'm just like, I need to go, like, maybe I've been out of the Word. Maybe I've been acting a fool because I've just been busy.
Stressed,
Right.
And I'm stressed and it's getting to me. And I read and I just spend that time. And then all of a sudden, like, God just puts me in check through the Word. And I'm like, okay, because this is the truth.
Yeah.
And it's the Word, like your first show, it's about truth and the Word of God. And I just went back
It's interesting because now even when Phil and I fight, we know when we can call each other out. We don't take offense now. No joke.
Yes.
It's taken us 9
years.
It
takes a while to do that.
But
yeah.
we finally go, you haven't really been in your Word, have you? When I start biting at him or when he starts like getting at me, it's literally because we know he'll go, okay, babe, take a break. Leave the kid. Go. You need to go get in your Word.
Yeah.
And so we don't get offended. I'm like, we know that it's a lack of communication and connectedness between you and God. It's got nothing to do with me when you're upset with me.
Yeah.
It's got you and God. So go get you and God time and then you could come back and let's have a chat.
Dude,
you know?
That's it for sure.
Yeah. A good piece of marriage advice I remember was keep a short record of wrongs, right? Love keeps no record of wrongs. Mm-hmm. So when something happens, you forgive and you just don't bring it
really
up 50 million times.
Yes, it's really
thank
got
you.
Nothing.
Yes, exactly.
Because I mean, seriously, there's people married 30 years that are still living 30
bitter
years ago
from,
and they're bitter and they've never dealt with it.
Totally.
And that's the Lord is the only person that can, you know, remove those things.
That's so good.
I forgive you for burning the chocolate chip cookies. I don't want resentment and bitterness.
And you were so excited for them.
I thought you were going to talk about those beans that I burnt when we first got married that you brought up like 50 times.
You were talking about that on the radio show?
I feel like everyone has that. I made a beef stew when we first got married that was, I was using American ingredients, right? Instead of English ones. Yeah. And they were extra salty.
Oh.
So Garrett always talks about, remember that beef stew?
Wait, he almost burnt down the house
too?
You're
like, don't bring that up again.
No, I didn't burn down the house.
You smoked it out?
I almost like killed him with beef stew. With,
terrible.
Salt.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. I love that. Well, okay, so what can we do in our relationships to make sure that we're, you know, showing love? Here's one.
Minute each, because we got 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Go.
So here, sorry.
You go first.
Oh, sure.
Crystal.
Okay. I was just gonna say, you know, sometimes even when I'm like super tired, I'm like, let's just pray together. Like that is
so
like the.
Good.
And sometimes it's like the hardest thing to do.
Yes.
It's just to like find that time between like I'm like half
humbling.
Asleep on the pillow.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
and sometimes
just
I don't
want to
pray.
Yeah. I don't want to pray. And Ryan's like pray, and I'm like you pray. Like I'm so mad sometimes or tired or whatever it is.
It's really hard to pray when you're mad because it checks right there. You feel like I can't pray when I'm mad.
Yeah, she's like, you pray, I'm like.
Totally.
Very
how
awkward.
How are you
going to
be when you're talking to God?
Yeah, exactly.
Really humble yourself.
Yes, exactly.
God, help Crystal.
Yeah, she's clearly not right-minded right now.
Forgive me.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show.
Yeah.
To connect and find out
even
more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday for The Ryan Reese Show.
I mean, just what we were saying, you just get instantly, the first and foremost is, where are you with God? What have you been reading? What have you been listening to? And getting right back to that is the best possible thing you can do, because from that all else flows, you know?
Yep. And I would say for us, it's all, you always got to make sure that you come back together. Like at the end of the day, like you live, you don't want to be two separate people living their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I say to Garrett, we're like tag teaming, like one in, out the door. Some people work opposite shifts, you know, and they're like barely see each other. You've got to get on the same page spiritually first, you know, like daily, like praying about things. Can you pray for this? And you've got to have that spiritual connection daily, like every single day. Otherwise, like 2 days go by and 3 days go by and 4 days go by.
I would encourage you guys, even when you get off course, say if you're on it for like 3 days straight and then you get off it for a day or two and you're like, I can't get it together. Just keep getting on it.
Yes.
Just keep fighting. You got to keep fighting for it because you're never just going to nail it and it's going to be perfect.
Right.
You got to fight for it every single day.
And you know what's one last humbling thing I could suggest us to do is ask your spouse, say, can you pray for me? I will tell Phil to pray for my weaknesses. And that is one of the most, that gets us, of course your husband's going to want to pray for you. And I tell him, will you pray for me? Because I'm struggling with this. When was the last time you asked your spouse, not just, hey, pray for me, for X, Y, Z? Like that's, that'll get you in a good place.
Pray specifics. That's good. That's good. I know. That's so, I feel like communication, that's like a whole thing. And a whole other thing.
There's a whole other. I have like seven shows.
Show three, communication.
Has world tour coming for 2021. Seriously. So just stay tuned.
Okay, you guys have your own show coming. You have a conference coming and much more content. Yeah. So, hey, I want to thank you all personally for coming on. I knew it was going to be epic when Crystal's like, hey, let me get my friends and come take over your show. I was like, who? Well, Connie and Ruth, I was like, for sure.
Thanks for letting us. I'm like,
we got to do at least a couple shows. But
it
you know
flew by.
Yeah, it did.
It's really good. Well, you know what we can do? We will actually, next time we do a show, when you guys come back, we'll do a live show. Like it's like Wild West, you know?
We'll do a
live call-in show.
Ooh, that's fun.
So
if anybody has questions, send them to now.
Hit up the whosoever's.com or our Instagram or whatever. Send questions for these girls and we'll get on and we'll take your live calls and it'll be epic. So
it'll be fun.
And don't forget to go to the whosoever's.com. We tour the public school system. We are infiltrating the public schools with the gospel. Email us, book us. We're coming. We're COVID safe, and we're going to come to a city near you. Peace. Woo.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
I'm Dr. Lauren DeVille, a practicing naturopathic physician in Tucson, Arizona. In my podcast, Christian Natural Health, my guests and I discuss topics ranging from nutrition, sleep, hormone balancing, and exercise to specific health concerns like hair loss, anxiety, and hypothyroidism. I'll also interweave biblical principles as they apply throughout the podcast because true health is body, mind, and spirit. Listen to Christian Natural Health for free at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcast platform.